It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day to study the Word of God. We're in John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with verse 17 today. John chapter 13, verse 17. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. While you're looking those verses of Scripture up so that you can follow along with me today, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I hope that was enough time for you to look up the Scripture verses, John chapter 13, and we'll begin reading now with verse 17. John chapter 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I give a sop. When I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whether I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. Please follow me in prayer now. Join me in prayer as we begin the study today. Father, we've read your precious word. It's a joy as we come together and study your word. Please that you will guide and lead us as we enjoy this sweet time. Just take our time, Lord, and enjoying each part of it, that we may grow closer to you, that we may bring honor and glory unto you, Lord, in all that we do. Please that you will guide and lead us now, Lord, carefully and correctly. And we know, Lord, if we'll listen to you and be obedient to you, that it will be correctly, and it'll be by your leadership that we may have joy and peace, that we may have salvation as well. Please, Lord, guide and lead us now as we study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a great day to come and enjoy the word of God. We've looked at the 17th verse. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. We have just been through the washing of the feet. the Lord Jesus, if you'll remember, why he had ungirded himself and he took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Well, we got to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter had a problem with that. And so he said, if you're going to wash me, Lord, wash me all over. Well, he was teaching them many things. And if you will remember, and I hope that you were with us as we were studying this section of Scripture, we went down through in the 5th verse, the 6th verse, the 8th verse, the 12th verse, and the 14th verse. And those words, wash or washed, is speaking of a part, just a part of the body. And we need to be cleansed as we walk through this old life, because this old world, we pick up all the dirt and the filth of the world and what we hear, what we see with our eyes, and we need a continual cleansing that we may maintain our fellowship with the Lord. But in the 10th verse, Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are washed all over. And that word is a different word in the Greek text. Washed means all over in the 10th verse. And so if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you are washed all over and you are made clean. And that's only a one time. You're not saved and then lost and then saved and then lost. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in him by faith, and you're saved. And he will keep you eternally. It's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Walk after him and know that I am saved and he is keeping me. And that gives me such a great desire and love to serve him and to walk after him. By serving him and walking after him, I too am still in this world and I pick up the dirt of this world. I need that cleansing. And so that's the reason he washed the feet, to show them that not only do you come by faith to Jesus Christ, but also you begin, as you walk through this world, you need to be cleansed from the constant dirt, the sin of this world. Now, I know that's kind of hard to understand. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to take all your sins away, and he did. He took every sin that you have ever and ever will commit. He has taken them away. By coming to him by faith, trusting in him, turning, repenting from your ways and turning into him, you can receive salvation, eternal life in Jesus Christ, my Lord. However, as you walk through this world, we want to have fellowship with God. It's such a joy to enjoy the time of fellowship with the Lord as we're still here on earth and not present with him in heaven. Well, what happens to us, because this world, the world as we know it, is the devil's world, well, by us being in it, we pick up the habits. We have enough bad habits that are still ours that we don't get rid of, and so we lose our fellowship with the Lord. We need to trust in him. We need to walk each day with him, and that's where the washing of the word, that cleansing. Salvation's a free gift. We come by faith once to him, and we are eternally saved, then we begin to enjoy this wonderful walk with him that we have. But in order to maintain that wonderful fellowship and joy we should have with him, we must come to his word that he'll show us what we've done wrong. God's eyes were perfect. But in order for us to maintain this fellowship, we need that constant cleansing of the things of the day that we do. Fellowship. We should always have fellowship. And now that I've probably totally confused you with that, and I hope that I have not. I hope that you realize that, yes, salvation is free. You come once, but then as we walk after the Lord Jesus, as the sin of this world kind of attaches itself to us, we need to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us, and it puts us back into fellowship. Always, from the beginning of our time of eternal life, trusting in him, we have salvation. That is always. That never leaves us. But the fellowship can come and go as we walk close to the world or close unto the Lord. Now, he's talking about, if you know these things, happy are ye that do them. And as we look at these things, happy are ye that do them. God has a way. And it's not the world's way, it's another way. But God's way is that we should be humble, we should be holy, and then we are going to be happy. That's God's way. Humble, holy, and happy. Now, to begin with, we're a prideful people. We desire more the things of this life and the things of this world, and we like people to pay attention to us. You know, you do something around the house or do something around the church. Why do you do it? Do you do it so that someone can recognize that you do it, or do you do it to bring honor and glory unto the Lord? As we walk each day and as folks come by the church, you know, do you always have to speak to someone about you, what you have done while no one else was at the church, something that you have accomplished, maybe some little job that needed to be done? You stopped by the church, took care of it, but do you need to always tell somebody that you were the one that did it? As we are prideful, we like to have the attention. We should be humble. We should be able to stop by. We should be able to do things around the house of God and not desire the attention or any place else as far as that part's concerned. But we're afraid somebody else will get credit for something we have done, so we try to move in and make it so clear. God's way for happiness is that you be humble. So begin to be humble. Contrary to the word of God, contrary to the world, to God, to the devil's way, he likes us prideful and righteous, self-righteous. But God wants us humble, and then we begin to walk his way by studying his word, by this washing of the words that cleanses us. We begin to walk a holy life, and so we begin to be humble by the power of God. We begin to be holy by the power and the strength of God, and then we also begin to be happy. And it's wonderful as we look to the Word of God and we enjoy it each time. It's such a joy to see the power and the presence of God upon our life. That's God's way. There's only one way, and that's God's way. Humble, holy, and happy. Please that you look unto the Word of God, that you desire to be happy in Jesus Christ. No things of this world could make you happy, but the Lord Jesus sure will. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Verse 17, verse 18, if I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. As we look at verse 18, I would like to go to a couple other verses of Scripture, and they're all in John, and look to John chapter 6. I'll turn in my other Bible. You know how I always do that. I always have a couple of Bibles, and that way I can be looking at that verse, and yet the original verse that we're looking at, John 13, 18, and I can also then turn to John chapter 6, verse 64. John chapter 6, verse 64. And as we read that verse of Scripture, John 6, 64, there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. For that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that there was going to be one that was going to betray him. And we find again in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by of the Father. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit, by the direction of God the Father, comes and convicts your heart? Jesus Christ paid the price upon the cross of Calvary, but without God calling you, drawing you by the Holy Spirit, you have no opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart. That's the reason we must get the Word of God out, because it's by the Word of God. Please that you listen to the call of God. It's sad to say that this one man knew and listened, walked with the Lord Jesus, this Judas Iscariot, and yet he chose not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so sad. And then we have here in verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And it says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He knew one of those men, one of those that walked so closely with him, was going to turn against him. Isn't it sad, again, that you can be so close? Maybe you're so close. You're in the house of God. You never miss church. You're faithful to church. You work very hard in the church. And yet, my friend, you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ. I know a multitude of people that are good people as far as the outside, but their heart is still wicked because they have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus. John chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. It was clear that there was going to be one of them that has made a decision not to come to the Lord Jesus, not to trust in him. In verse 11 now, John 13:11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He need to be bathed all over, as we were talking about earlier, didn't he? The Lord Jesus come through and washed all the disciples' feet, showing them, number one, what it is to be humble, what it is to be a servant, and also he showed them that you must have the continual cleansing of the Word as you walk through this life so that you can have the joy and the fellowship of the Lord. You already have salvation if you've been washed all over. And that worst all over is the day that you choose to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. The scripture verse here calls and spoke of the word chosen. And we think of chosen or called. And a lot of people wonder or question, are there just certain people that can be saved? Well, let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Because as we look at this verse of scripture, I hope that it will help you to understand how that the Lord takes care of us and how that we can come by faith to Him and be saved. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. For what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to help you with these words of Scripture here, because to be washed, to be chosen, to be called, and we're going to look here in Romans 8. If you missed that verse of Scripture, didn't turn to there with me, I hope that you will now. Romans chapter 8, once again, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, there's a question there, because to begin with, many people decide that it's all going to work out for the best, and yet they are not surrendered to the Lord Jesus. They are not serving God, and yet they got this thought in their mind, okay, everything, as long as I do good. No, you do the will of God. To them that love God, and if you truly love God, you will do the will of God. And so that, to begin with, stop using those words unless you are following closely after the Lord. Because if you are and you're surrendered to Him, then you will see and then you will find the joy of walking after the Lord Jesus Christ. And not until then, that you may see and know the joy of walking after the Lord Jesus. It's such a joy to see the Lord Jesus, to walk after Him, to know His way and will for your life. But you need to understand that that's the only time that the good comes, when we are serving Him. Otherwise, don't try to say those words or put them into the wrong place. But as we continue here, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, it's important that we understand, it's important that we see very carefully, to whom he did foreknow. God's foreknowledge, he can look down through time. It is wonderful that we serve a God that can look down through time and realize and know who is going to make a decision, make a choice, a free choice to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God can look, God the Father can look down through time, and he knew that there was going to be a time that I was going to turn my heart and my life over to the Lord Jesus. Now, wonderful. By that, because of his foreknowledge, because he could look down through and he could see the year of 1975 all the way down through for some thousands of years, God can look down through time and know that I'm going to be saved. And so because he knew I was going to be saved, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I am to be Christ-like. God has set my life because he has seen that I was going to come by faith and trust in him. I went to the cross of Calvary. I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sin, and there he saved me, because you see, that's where he offered the perfect sacrifice. It is wonderful that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and walk after him. It is wonderful that we can trust in Jesus as our Savior. And it is wonderful to know that the foreknowledge of God could look down through time and see the very day, the very minute, the very second that I was going to trust in Jesus as my Savior. And because of that, he has set my life. I've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You see, we become the chosen. We become the called because Jesus Christ trusts in us. Them he also justified. To whom he justified, them he glorified. Isn't it wonderful that we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing that he has set our life, and that makes me predestined to be saved, because Jesus knew with his foreknowledge as he looked down through time that I could come by faith to him and be saved, and that I would do that. Again, it's not that a certain chosen group of people would come and decide to trust in him or not to trust in him. But it was my choice, my free choice, my free decision to whether I was going to come or not to come, trust in him or not trust in him. It's wonderful, my friend, that no one is excluded from coming. You are not excluded from coming to Jesus Christ. Judas was not one that was not able to come to Jesus Christ. It was not going to happen. He could come. It was an opportunity he had. He rejected Jesus. I heard the word of God. I listened to the call of the gospel. I made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ or not to trust in Jesus Christ. I decided to trust in him. By faith, by the call of the Holy Spirit, I surrendered and come to the Lord Jesus. Because of that, once again, I am predestined to be saved. Because the foreknowledge of God knew. So my life is predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. I am to be Christ-like. God is in a work of making me perfect, and I'm a far cry from it. But he has given me every opportunity to walk down through this life and set my eyes upon Jesus Christ, to walk after him, to serve him, to praise him, and to bring honor unto God the Father. That should be the life of every believer. We are called. It's a wonderful walk that we have, a wonderful step that we have. For the 13th verse back in John chapter 13:13 tells us, ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If we back up and read verse 12, we should take care of, I'm sorry, I'm back in the 13th chapter. I need to move up to the 18th verse. We had verse 13. with the scripture verses that we were looking at earlier there. And the 13th verse of that chapter, chapter 13:13, says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so am I." And again, the 18th verse, "I speak not of you all, but know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." How could one choose, have not chosen Jesus Christ? And again, he calls them chosen. As we look through these verses of Scripture, "I speak not of you all, but I know whom I have chosen." We went back to the Scripture verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. And yet we find up above, "Ye call me Master and Lord," in the 13th verse. "Ye say, well, for so am I." As we look at the Lord and Master, you think of Master being teacher, one that we should follow, one that we should believe. And Lord is one that we should obey. It's wonderful that we would walk after the Lord Jesus, trust in Him, serve Him in a mighty way, that we may know His will and way for our lives. But please understand, you become chosen because you make a decision to come to Jesus. It's your free will. No one is forcing you. No one is doing anything other than to set that you would come. Do you feel the presence of the call of God today? We have this man named Judas here that has walked with the 12. He was among them. He listened to the Lord Jesus. He heard Him from the beginning. And yet we find that Judas did not surrender his heart unto the Lord Jesus. He witnessed the healing. He himself probably was part of that. He listened to the words of God. He listened to Him continually, and yet he did not come by faith and trust in Him. He was not washed, as verse 10 tells us. He did not become one of the chosen. His life was not set to be predestined to be to the image of the Son. He was not to be like Jesus Christ because Judas chose not to. Now, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to trust in the Lord Jesus? Do you call Him Lord, Master and Lord? Do you attend church continually and follow after the ways of God, and yet you have never come by faith to Jesus Christ? Judas did just that. He followed after. He had the look, he had the walk, he had everything that everybody on the outside. And as we find down below here, and we study the next time we come together, we're going to look at some more verses of Scripture. Nobody ever believed or dreamed that it was Judas. Judas fooled them all. Peter couldn't believe that it was Judas. John couldn't believe it was Judas. No one could understand that Judas would do such a thing, that he would not walk after and be faithful to following the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not know his heart, did they? Well, that's the reason that we spend so much time talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the need to be saved, the need of salvation, the need to just turn unto the Lord Jesus. If you hear his call today, come. We have all these folks that followed after him, all these folks that listened to the words of the Lord Jesus, yet we just have a handful that's left, and even one that stayed and listened and walked through that ministry for those 3 years, we find him not to be a believer. Now, doesn't that worry your heart? Doesn't that concern you just a little bit, that if you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you have not surrendered to him and made him your personal Savior, that maybe, just maybe, you're not a child of God? That maybe that church membership and maybe that baptism and those things, they will not get you to heaven? They will not bring you into fellowship with the Lord? Please, do you call him Master and Lord? You say, well, for so I am, Jesus says. But where is your heart? What condition is your heart in? Please, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, you can try to walk that humble walk. You can try to be holy. You can try to put on that face and look happy. But unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, unless you have come by faith to Him, my friend, what will you do? Is there going to be a time when you're going to recognize that you have to trust Him personally? You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When will that come? Never, as Judas? Or was it going to come today? Because you realize that there's one more step than just being in church, but you need to trust in Jesus as your personal Savior. My dear friend, ask Him today, what are you going to do about Jesus?